Welcome back to the Muddy River Tactical Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Mason, joined today by Kevin and Brett, as always. And last week, it was just Kevin and I in here. Brett was doing some Indiana Jones work around his house. How did all that work turn out for you, buddy?
It actually turned out really well. Got the wall straightened back up, and now it's a muddy mess.
So what was going on? Your basement wall was like caving in and you had to reinforce it, or?
Yeah, just our lovely soil in Missouri is really crappy. Yeah. So my walls were starting to fall in. They've actually been that way since I bought the house about 15 years ago. So I just finally took the plunge and dug the whole house up and fixed them. Well, I didn't fix them. I had somebody else fix them.
Yeah. But you were still working on it, and that goes a long way. So you get bragging rights at home, right?
No.
No.
No, they hate me right now. I mean, you can't park anywhere. You only go in one door. It's a mess.
Like living in a swamp.
Well, they moved all that dirt and then all this rain we've had. Can you imagine?
It just dumped. I mean, 5-6 inches right after we filled all the whole basement in. But
well, that's always a good time. So, yeah, Kevin and I had a podcast last week. Talked about the grizzly blinds. Talked a little bit about the suppressors and a two-day wait time. Is that still kind of what you're seeing over at the shop?
Yeah, it's roughly 2-3 days right now for individuals. I still haven't gotten any quicker times on truss yet. But
so have all the old ones came back, the ones that were taking a while, or is it just the new ones coming back that fast?
So far, it's been the new ones that are starting to fill them out now for individuals. No, all the old ones are still there. I still have 60-something. And I bet all the new ones in the past week, the 25, 30 of them I've done, they've already come back. So
yeah, see, that's why I had a couple people after that video me and Brett did on YouTube were complaining about, like, it we can control it somehow.
For sure.
About how, well, why is mine not back then if everybody else's is 2 days? I'm like, well, we have zero control of that, first of all. But
yeah, yeah. I have a gentleman that's still, he's sitting at a year right now. I mean, he's got three of them.
So there's just no rhyme or reason. They kind of pull them as they pull them. And
yeah.
Well, I'm guessing with the new system, it makes it more streamlined for them to do it on their end, probably.
Yeah, it's from what I heard, just talking briefly with an agent, the everybody has the ability to see where the process is, and they have a certain time limit to get their background checks done, and then it just waits and sets in a bottleneck. And I'm guessing they just do like a list by region, because we'll get a batch approval 1 week, and then we won't get approvals for another 3 weeks, and then we'll get approvals. And then, so I'm guessing they're just doing like a batch approvals by region. But ever since these quick ones have been going, they're just going just randomly about every 2-3 days after inputting them.
That's crazy. And is there any difference that for people that have existing NFA items already, or does it matter?
So far, I haven't seen any difference, but it's so up and down. I mean, I've put some in that's been 3 weeks now and hasn't got approved on individuals, and most of the other ones have all went through in 2-3 days. It's just kind of a weird, inconsistent thing right now.
That we have zero control of.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I get a lot of questions is I just have the one suppressor. Now, if people are getting multiple, like they set up a trust where they're all on one deal, how does that work?
There's a couple trusts. There's what's called a traditional trust, which is back in the old days, everybody had a trust for their farm, land, whatever. It's that same type of traditional trust. And then they have now what's called a single shot trust. A single shot trust is for each individual suppressor or NFA item. It doesn't have to be a suppressor. It could be a SBR. But you purchase that trust. It's $25 roughly, or they offer a unlimited single shot trust. So you get, it's like $130, and then you can get, every time you buy a suppressor NFA item, you get a trust automatically.
Oh, okay.
The difference in those trusts, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to give you exact info, but it comes down to the fingerprint process, adding a trustee to that trust is what the biggest difference is. So if you want to be added to the trust on a traditional, you have to do your fingerprint, send it in to the ATF, everything gets added to it. On this new single shot trust, we just do the paperwork ourselves in front of a notary, and then you're on the trust.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, we do all the paperwork. There's nobody else involved. They send you all the paperwork in an email. You print it out to add or take away or to do anything on that trust yourself.
So they're really trying to make it more user-friendly now.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. What have you been up to, Kevin? Anything fun? Still working on the farm, putting in food plots?
I'm about done now. Last night I finished a little bit more seed, but I'm done until the fall.
And what did you plant? Like, what's your go-to for planting, like, spring, summer food?
Well, this year we got Domain Seed in the shop now, so I'm really wanting to try a lot of their different stuff and just see how it works so we can really give somebody a true opinion.
You probably do some review videos from your fields, too, because you did the soil samples and fertilizer, and you didn't just go till it up and throw down some seed.
Yeah, we went all in this year, and like I said, it's just because Jake's so into it. He's six. He'll be about seven by deer season. But while he's young and still into it, I want to try to make it as best as possible. But I planted almost 18 acres, mostly about half of it clover, just to keep it there year round. So there's year round food, and then some of it into different soil builders, soybeans, different things. And I'll take probably another 10 acres of fall plots this fall. Now, like brassicas, radishes.
The clover's good because it puts nitrogen back into the soil, right? That's kind of the deal with it.
Yeah, and I mean, a good clover plot is hard to beat. I mean, you'll see guys, and I'm going to put in a bunch of radishes and stuff too, but if a clover plot is right, they'll eat in it all year long.
Well, and don't you mow it at certain times too to stimulate growth or limb to, fresh growth to get them to eat it better?
I do, yeah. Different guys do different things. Some people don't cut it because they want the more forage off of it, more tonnage per acre. But, I mean, if you have enough fields, I think it's better and more palatable to the deer if you cut it.
That fresh stalks.
And it gets rid of the weeds. So, we spray, this new way of quote unquote farming, not spraying, just doesn't work well in our area. So we still got to spray some, but we try to minimize how much we spray. So in a clover field, you can cut it two or three times a summer and it'll suppress the weeds out of it.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff. And that's something, we probably need to, like we talked about, get those guys on, because I think a lot of our listeners are hunters like us and would probably benefit a lot from some of the input those guys might have. Brett, do you want to tell the people what we did for you around the shop, like the great local service we're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. If you come into the shop, Kevin...
I'll post some pictures
of it. Kevin's got some pretty nice little cards made for me. It's kind of like a baseball card. Kyle was involved in this. That'd be all Kyle. So you're taking
the cards, Kyle.
Okay.
Hey, CVS had a deal. That's why you got 50 of them. So hey, they're limited edition, is what I'm telling people.
And okay. The gun shop's closed on Monday. I went in there to get some stuff, and he had them behind the counter. So what was that about?
It was for the one day only. Remember?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, but you've had people from Montana asking for them. You've had people from states away.
Yeah, like,
you're a big deal.
Yeah,
big time.
You mailed a couple.
Yeah, you come in my office.
You have to do what you have to do, man. I mean,
I'm sitting there relevant. Trying to model holsters. He's like, I need you to mail this for me. I'm like, there's a secretary on my job title now.
Hey. If you're going to start this process, you're going to help finish it.
Oh, no, I was in for the joke and the initial. Like, then I kicked it over to you. You got to make the customers happy, Brett. You're shipping stuff out every day.
Yeah, so to go against your guys' jokes, instead of being the normal person that would, like, get a little bit upset or try to get back at you, no.
That would make it even better. Yeah, though, you know.
I know, but I didn't want to do that. So what I did is I posted it on Facebook at a couple different locations just to go along with it. And here's the deal, is it worked. Because both of you just ignored it. You just kind of left it alone. It's like,
We're just getting up to the next one.
Bring it on.
Your true signing party where we hand out hot dogs. Hey, and you're sitting there.
Are we going to rent a tent?
Sure.
Everything? Oh, yeah. We're going to have a bounce house. It's going to be awesome.
Hey, as long as we strap it down and we're not like floating away like some of that news articles. You remember those days?
Oh, my gosh. I saw one the other day, and it's kind of along the same lines, but you get with the weirdest ads for stuff on Facebook, but it's probably because I look up boat stuff. So, you've got the tubes, and you've got the tubes that fly up in the air and, like, kill people 30 feet up on the air.
I mean, they don't kill people, Kyle, but...
Well, they body slam you back to the lake at 40 miles an hour.
Let's be a little bit less dramatic here.
Depends on who's driving.
That's true.
They've got this thing now, and it's on a tow rope, and it's, like, two wings, so they're flat. So it looks kind of like a snowboard, but it's pivoted or hinged in the middle. And you've got a handhold on either side, so you can turn one up or down and like dive deep underwater behind the boat or like do flips underwater. And I'm like, you're going to hit a tree stump or a rock. And like, of course, the video's got this guy out in the ocean, like with the dolphins swimming by him. And but they're in 35 feet of wide open water.
It's like, it probably says on there for ocean use only.
Oh my God. But you know, somebody's going to be up at Smithville running up the crappie ground. So, yeah. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about concealed versus open carry, and we're going to give you the pros and cons of each. We'll kind of go over what they are, what we recommend, and what we like. And I think, you know, just to kind of get it out there, I think there's a place and time for everything, kind of like we've talked about, you know, all the different types of holsters. Same thing for carry styles. So we're going to go over what concealed versus open carry is, the different kind of holsters you have for it, and when may be the best times. So, just getting to it, open carry. That is going to be where you're carrying, typically outside the waistband holster, chest rig, maybe a rifle on a sling, something that's visible to the public. Versus the other side of it is going to be concealed carry. And that's going to be your inside the waistband holsters. That may be a bag, that may be a purse, it could be an ankle holster. It's just something where the firearm is not readily available to everyone around you. There's goods and bads in all of them, but we'll start off on the open carry side, and I will kind of go down these one at a time. So just get through them, and you guys can tell me your thoughts on them as we're going. So you hear people, and the number one pro that I've heard for open carry is that it's more comfortable. And for me, that's kind of a big one, and I won't say I open carry more than I concealed carry because, again, it's all situational. But I will say, as far as comfort, I do prefer the outside the waistband holsters, especially when I'm out on the farm or doing stuff like that. What has been your guys' experience on that aspect of it?
Well, I think the open carry and concealed carry kind of also breaks apart into two different categories as far as what you're doing. If you're out in public versus farm or hiking or something is kind of two different things, in my opinion.
No, for sure. For sure. So they've got the comfort aspect of it. They've also got immediate access. And, you know, the argument is, hey, I can get my firearm out. I'm not having to lift up a hoodie. It's not concealed underneath anything, which can be a deal. And, you know, you've got the other side of that, too. It's like, if you are carrying concealed and you're training, then, you know, you can probably get your firearm out.
And that's the bigger part of it, I think, is we always go back to training on everything. But as a generalized statement, when you're in public, not at the farm, not whatever, that's a whole different thing, in my opinion. But when you're out in public, most of the guys I see that open carry, like around here, you can open carry, are guys that have probably, and I'm not saying all of them, but most of them have never trained in their life and have probably shot less than a box of shells through that gun ever. It's more of a look at me statement. And I'm a gun guy, and I look at it that way.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, you got people that say, hey, I'm doing this to display my Second Amendment rights, which I'm all for the Second Amendment rights and everything, but there's probably a time and a place, because if we're at a pro-gun rally and everybody's open carrying, then as a group, you're kind of displaying your Second Amendment rights. If you're going to walk down Main Street in Platte City with an AR on your shoulder, you're, in my opinion, probably doing less to display your Second Amendment rights and doing more to make people uncomfortable. And I understand the thought process of, hey, you got to make people uncomfortable to engage in the conversation. But I feel like more often than not, you may end up, you know, putting more of a bad taste in someone's mouth or kind of looking like the crazy guy walking down the street with the AR for no reason other than to express your rights.
Yeah, just because you have the rights to do it doesn't mean you necessarily always should do it. And this will be a very, you know, people on both sides of the fence on what they think. But for being in the public wise, I think more people are realizing concealed carry's benefit than before, as more people have guns than before. You know, like say a law enforcement officer, obviously there's open carrying all the time. but they're wearing a uniform, you know they have a gun. If you look at the like detectives and undercover stuff, most of those guys are wearing inside. They don't want you to know anything. For you know, sure. So it's just there's a tactics to everything, including just civilian concealed carry. And in my opinion, you're just you can weigh the odds both ways, but from a tactical and advantage standpoint, concealed you're 10 times ahead.
Yeah. I have a little bit different opinion on open carry. I don't care for it particularly, but the gentleman, like the AR scenario that you were just talking about, my opinion on it is a little bit different. They are doing it to get attention majority of the time. Nobody needs to walk around with an AR to go fishing or whatever. The videos out there are always, you know, around here, you probably don't see that very often ever, but around here, you might not have the alarmed citizen as quickly as you do, say, in another state.
Yeah.
But and I think that's kind of the conversation that they're trying to have, maybe not going the right way to do it, but why is there that citizen so alarmed right away? Like that's I think the conversation they're trying to have, just maybe try to figure out a different way to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, even for me being a gun guy, if we go walking out to the trucks to leave right now and there's some dude walking down the street with a 12 gauge, aren't you instantly going to be like, all right, what's this guy doing? Like, it's going to put you on defensive right away. And we're pro gun guys.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to, you know your audience, know your place. And if your goal is to really educate people or normalize firearms, which is one of the other debates that you hear, there may be better ways to do it.
Like Kevin said, cops open carry every day, but they're wearing a uniform. So we're trained. Everyone at this table, everywhere is trained that because they see that uniform, that you're not alarmed that they have a gun on their side.
Right.
And so that's maybe a way to, like, if you're fishing, if you're carrying fishing poles, that alarm should probably be not as heightened.
Right.
If you have a crazy person just walking down the street with a sawed-off shotgun, yes, you should be heightened. I mean, that's not a normal, or even an AR at that point, because, I mean, it doesn't matter what the gun is. It's dangerous. It's not, you know.
And I'm not profiling anybody by any means, but most of the guys, like the AR situation is kind of different. Most of those people that you see doing that look like they're disgruntled or something. They're never like a clean cut dude in a business suit walking around with an AR. It's some dude with knee high army boots and long hair, scraggly, just rough looking.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you said you're not profile, but unfortunately we're all trained to profile. Yeah. Every one of us is trained to profile because we notice what they're wearing. We notice what they're doing, what vehicle they get out of. And you know, it's a good thing because if something they do something bad, the first question they ask you is what were they driving? What were they wearing? What they look like.
Well, so, if you look at like this goes back to like I think the media has so much to do with all of this, including what I just said as far as profiling them in a way. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at most of the shooters and people that go and do stupid shit places and shoot up places, they have that same look. So don't go with that same look trying to prove a point the other way. Like, you know what I mean?
It's don't want to be in the trench coat and look like you're from Columbine walking down the street. I mean,
it's kind of disturbing. But where the media, I think, could fix the whole problem, but it's never going to because you got people on both sides of the board. Any shooting that happens, that they will show, like if somebody walks in somewhere and shoots something up, it's going to be on every news station ever.
Yeah.
If somebody tries to go and somebody concealed carrying stops it, you will not see it anywhere. You'd have to search as hard as you could to find that something happened.
Yeah.
And that's where people don't understand that everybody's like, oh, you don't need a gun. Well, you don't see all the good stuff that happens from people that are concealed carrying.
The kid that shot, that stopped the shooter in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know what he looked like?
Nope.
You'll never
know what he looked like.
No.
But I guarantee you, we know what the trench coat people look like. We know what the kid looks like shot at the church.
Their parents' names, everything of the people they're doing wrong.
Well, and the kid up in Michigan with the AR at the rally, the only reason you know what he looks like is they tried to crucify him publicly, you know. And, you know, you get to the rallies and stuff, and, like, I know there's all sorts of, there's a SEAL I was listening to on a podcast, and there's protest out in front, close to the SEAL barracks or whatever. So a bunch of the off-duty SEALs went down with their ARs and were outside and like, hey, you're not tearing down the statue in front of the SEAL team building. But he's like, before we went, we called the local police department and said, hey, just so you know, there's going to be six of us down here. Don't freak out. We're not doing whatever. So I'd tell you, if you're trying to have an educational rally or something like that, maybe tip off your local law enforcement.
Oh, for sure.
Because, you know, it's going to cause a scene, for lack of better terms. The last pro that I've been able to find on open carry is people claim that it's a deterrent for crime, which I don't totally agree with. I think it makes you more of a target, personally. Because if you're standing at the local gas station and you've got your 45 strapped on your hip, if somebody walks in to rob it, they're going to look at you and be like, well, there's Brett and he's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing is, I don't know if you guys seen this video, and I don't know how long it was. I seen it on Instagram. It popped up through my Instagram. But it was a security guard, not in a full uniform, just like almost like a plain dress private security, not a cop, private security. At some store, like I think it's a jewelry store or something, at the front door, this girl comes and you can see her looking at him and at the gun when she comes by, comes back, grabs the gun out of the holster and shoots herself right there in the store.
Yep.
Her whole purpose of getting his gun was to shoot herself.
Yeah.
You know, it just puts it out there for not only you as a target, but for other people that possibly mental illness, different. I mean, there's all sorts of things that it can bring up, you know?
Oh, 100%. So that kind of leads us over onto the cons aspect. And again, you know, personal opinions and everything else. But one of the biggest cons about open carrying is that you always have to be, like you're saying, vigilant at being disarmed. And I know from working my armed security, everywhere you go, like I had a hand on top of it. And that's, you know, most people I would say that are open carrying probably don't have a level 2 or level 3 retention holster. Most of them have a click-in Kydex holster, which anybody on earth can walk up behind you. And you can't tell me, and when I did security, it was before cell phones. So it's been years ago. Now, most people, you're right-handed. So you're going to be on your phone with your right hand. So you could be standing wherever and you're on your phone. Well, guess what? They can walk right up behind you and slide that pistol right out of that Kydex holster. I mean, it's just not something they're typically designed to be doing. So if you are going to carry open, you got to know that, you know, just like that situation, somebody could walk up behind it and grab you. Somebody could use your gun to rob you with your own gun. I mean, there's a lot of things you got to look for on that aspect of it too.
Yeah. I think being in the more people concealed carrying is a better deterrent than one guy with an open carry.
Yeah. I would totally agree on that. And that kind of leads to the second point, is it can make you a target like we talked about. So you're sitting there, the guy comes in to rob whatever, and hey, I know this guy's got a gun, so he's going to be my first. And you're probably going to be the target. If they're coming in to rob something and they're going to rob it, they're going to take care of the problem, which is you, before they try and get the money out of the cash register or whatever, because mm-hmm. you are the biggest threat at that point in time. So you kind of got to watch yourself. If you're going to do it, I'd tell you, you know, stand at angles, you know, try and keep your hand somewhat near it. But then if you're walking around all day long with a hand on top of your firearm, which number one, is it not comfortable? But number two, now you've got a hand on your firearm all day, which is going to make people, you know, a little bit more uneasy.
Well, the whole point to me of concealed carry is to be able to be protected, but go on with your everyday life like normal.
Right.
When, like you're saying, if you got to be super diligent and always thinking about that, are you really, if you are that diligent about it, are you really enjoying what you're doing? Probably not.
No, because you could be at just, and there, I'm not talking about places you can concealed carry or not, but if you're out watching your kid's basketball game, do you want to focus on your kid's basketball game or do you want to do that? Or, you know, and that's just a example, but there's hundreds of them. Now, I will tell you, for on the farm, out hunting, hiking, backpacking, fishing, like that kind of stuff, all open carry with an outside the waistband, just because walking those distances, I do find it more comfortable having it on the outside.
Where, yeah, for situations like that, it makes complete sense. Or even hiking, you know, like the chest rigs and stuff.
Yeah.
For hiking and in that environment, you know, it's a good thing. And it's not, you're not in a store and everybody looking at you. It's a whole different environment. Like if we're all out at my farm, nobody else is looking at us.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a whole different discussion in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So Another one of the cons is it can be intimidating or cause stressful encounters with the public, which we've kind of went over, you know, the ways.
Absolutely. If you're trying to open carry, there's always going to be a part of you trying to prove a point. In my opinion, and obviously nothing's fact.
Or you'll have somebody else on the other side of it trying to prove a point and sitting there arguing with you. And then do you want?
But if you chose to open carry, you want that not necessarily a confrontation or that conversation. You know what I mean? Like, because they want somebody.
Weird.
Yeah. To me, it's just it's a different aspect that I'm not a fan of.
And I've heard cops tell me before. It's like, look, yeah, you have the right to open carry or carry that shotgun down the street, but mm-hmm. I also have the right to stop you every step and ask you what you're doing and not harass you, but they can stop you and ask you questions about what's going on here. So, you know, just be ready for that aspect of it too. Another risk that comes along with it is there's a lot higher risk from studies of accidental shootings and confusion. So if you're open carrying and, you know, there's a shooter around and the cops respond, well, now you're another guy with a gun. You're adding to the confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, and it's not a deal breaker, but it's something, there's a lot of things you have to start being aware of, you know, because you could be perceived as a threat just like anybody else could at that point in time.
Well, at that point, you're a target, just like no different, whether it's a cops, you could be a possible target. People that are against it, you're a target to look at. You're a target for everybody, good, bad, or indifferent, you're a target.
For sure. It's kind of amazing. I was living down in Texas when Texas finally changed their open carry laws. Believe it or not, they just recently changed that in the last 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so whenever they opened it, the day they changed that law, you seen people everywhere in Texas walking around open carrying. It was just unreal. I mean, on motorcycles going down the road, they were just making a statement that now this is my right. I can do this. And thankfully, it calmed down after a while. But, you know, that's what everybody was waiting for. They wanted to speak up for them, for their rights. And you know what? We all have rights. We all like our rights, and we all want to defend our rights. But showboating about your rights is just going to get the wrong attention, in my opinion.
But like everything, there's situations, and like the gun shop's a prime example. There's nobody in their right mind that walks in our gun shop or any other gun shop that doesn't think we have a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Same difference as a cop. So if you want to wear an outside holster in a gun shop like us or right. in a gun shop every day, that's a whole different situation too. So there's no like necessarily black and white on it. It's just situational,
yeah.
I think.
I got to be careful because I'll leave the shop to go for lunch or go mail the post office, and I got to always check myself when I leave because I try to forget about it when it's on me. And
yeah.
Whether it's outside, inside, it doesn't matter. So, and, you know, so I got to be careful when I go to the store. Or
go to the like bank.
That. Yeah. So, it's funny you say that because we had a customer. A local customer that was a situation that he got out, went into the bank, and that happened. They saw his gun on his side, and they called the cops, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And, of course, the story got, you know, exaggerated, but it ended up not being that way, and he was let go and everything else, but it just...
But I think a little bit of him, too, though. Nobody knows who we're talking about, so it's not like I'm blasting him. But he has a little bit of the look at me, too, in my opinion.
He's got, yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. That's a prime example of you got yourself in a situation for no reason.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a look at me or here's my story all the time to everybody.
Yeah, one or the other.
And you know what I mean? Like, and people are just looking at him because of his story all right. the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the last con, and this one for me is kind of the one of the biggest ones against it, is you have absolutely no element of surprise if you're open carrying. So if you are in that gas station or if you're wherever and somebody does try and come in and rob the store, if you're concealed, you may be able to angle away, get a better tactical position, do different things, draw your weapon at your own, you know, time, place, and discretion versus you're immediately into the fight.
And that's where most of the concealed carry, actual self-defense shootings and stuff happen, isn't just like a quick split second, quick draw. You know, it's a situation's happening. You're in the background.
Waiting for your moment.
For a moment. It's not like a old Wild West where we're going to draw and see who shoots each other first.
Yeah, and and nobody tells you, hey, in 3 minutes, a guy's going to walk in this door. So ready, set, go. So you are making on the fly decisions. You're evaluating threat levels. Somebody could come in and just start yelling at a cashier. Is the first thing you're going to do, grab your pistol? No, probably not. Somebody comes in with a baseball bat and says, stand there. Are you immediately going to draw a gun on them and escalate it? I mean, probably not. You got to read the situation. And, you know, if that same guy comes in and, again, he sees that gun on your hip, well, then you maybe not have time to react, think, you know, evaluate anything.
Any extra time you can process a situation like that is going to be in your benefit.
The last thing I saw that was a con to open carrying firearms, and we'll just kind of throw it in as a bonus because I don't hear a lot of people talking about it, is your firearm's going to be way more exposed to rain, wind, snow, dirt, dust, debris, wear and tear than if it's going to be inside. So, you know, a lot of people have real nice guns, so just, you know it's going to get that extra abuse.
Especially if they're opening carry. A lot of guys will carry their fancy gun when they open carry. And
well, what's crazy is, like, we were talking about the farm, and that's, like, one of the only times I'll even open carry, too. But the reason I don't even do it at the farm much is all the damn dust.
Yeah.
Like, if you're out side-by-side tractor or something, you come back, your gun's going to be covered. I mean, if you're going for an hour, you're going to have to clean your whole gun.
Why don't you plant some grass, Kevin?
Maintenance department.
Now I'm
maintenance. If maintenance will fix my tractor.
Maintenance has got to fix the CNC machine. He's got to fix, like, the mics.
Tractor?
I had to run mic cables, all sorts of stuff.
You did good job.
Yeah, those are pretty good, aren't they? All right. Anything else you guys want to say about open carry before we move on to the concealed side?
Nope.
Okay. And for us, we're not bashing one way or another. We sell all the holsters. We own all the holsters. I own inside, outside for all the guns I have. And I think a lot of people do too. So with that said, we'll move on to the concealed side. And again, the concealed is going to be anything from an inside the waistband Kydex holster, leather holster. It could be a lot of ladies have the bags or purses or whatever. You know, you could throw it in your hunting pack and technically be concealed carrying. There's a lot of stuff you can do to be concealed carried. And again, that's just where it's not readily available to the public, everybody out walking around. Right off the bat, one of the best reasons to concealed carry is that you have that added security in your daily life without drawing any attention to yourself. Nobody knows it's there, but you're definitely at a greatly heightened level of security by having that on you, because you're able to react to any situation that may come up. Also, it gives you, like we kind of talked about, discretion on when to brandish that weapon, when to not. So if you got the guy in there, you know, or whatever the situation may be, give you that little bit of extra time to react to the situation without just having to make a knee-jerk reaction.
Well, because what do they say all the time? Not every fight's a gunfight. So when you have a gun on your side, it automatically escalates situations that maybe you shouldn't have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Also, being concealed, you're going to be harder to disarm. Number one, people shouldn't know you have it if you're concealed carrying properly. So it should be hidden. It shouldn't be printed. You shouldn't be reaching for it all the time. So if you're doing all these things, you should be able to walk down through the middle of a crowd. Nobody knows you have it. So
yeah, and then even if they target you as concealed carrying, they'd have to know where you're concealed carrying. So if you're not printing and stuff like you shouldn't, then, I mean, the chance of them grabbing the exact right spot are slim to none.
Yeah, and most
times, especially crowds. Like, any time you get around, I don't like being in big crowds anyways, just because of all the negatives that can affect it. But that's really vulnerable situation there to where concealed really shines out.
Absolutely. So leads us to, you have the element of surprise, which we've talked about. People don't know you have it, so you can take your time to plan that situation out. And the last pro, and it kind of combats the pro of the open carry, is if you're training and if you're practicing, you can draw that firearm within a really similar amount of time as if you're open carrying. Because
training trumps all.
Training's going to trump everything. And you know, hey, this shirt I grab here, fully draw out, or here, wherever the case may be. So The pros of, you know, the concealed, you know, are basically you're not making yourself a target and you can blend into the crowd, which is honestly kind of what you're wanting to do anyway. on the bad side, the cons. Now, a few of these, we're going to go over the cons of concealed carry. Now, I'll tell you right now, there's a few of them that I don't think are cons, but you know, we're going to be fair and give both sides of the argument.
I think a few of the cons are just the transition to concealed carry that we talk about all the time.
Agreed. So we'll go with one of the biggest cons that you hear. And again, this isn't, in my opinion, a con, but people will say, well, there's a lot more training that's required to concealed carry. And whether that be, hey, I got to practice on how to draw, how to lift up my shirt, or I have to go get this range time in to go get a concealed carry permit. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're training, it's not a negative thing.
Never.
Well, I'm going to stop you there just on that. Anybody that thinks that is the reason we have issues with concealed carry. Just because you can have a gun doesn't mean you need to have a gun. You need training before it's ever there. So if their mentality is it takes more training to do that, you probably aren't the person that needs to be carrying a gun.
Yeah, for sure.
And you got to think, too. It goes back to that education side. Do you want to be the person telling someone that has no experience with guns, it's like, yeah, just go pick up one and carry it. Like, that's probably one of the most irresponsible things you could tell somebody.
Well, and forget your rights. Everybody has the right, but you can get yourself killed faster with a gun than you can help anybody else if you're not trained with it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And, you know, from a legal standpoint, too, take the time to learn the legal aspects, no matter which way you're going to carry, about what situations are appropriate to use a gun in, what's not.
And, well, that varies by states.
And yeah, and that's what
so much to
I was
going to
add the legal side to it, because the legal side is going to be pro and a con. One is you have to know your laws, so it's a pro that you're going to know the laws, but it's a con because you have to learn the laws. And that's where people, they won't take the time to learn the law. They'll go to their local gun shops. Hey, what's legal here? What age can I carry at? What age can I buy ammo at? That's not your local gun shop's job to answer that question.
Well,
you need to learn.
And that way they're getting a generalized statement instead of the whole story.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I would highly recommend, if there's laws you have questions about, the government gives you your local area. Call your local representatives. Call somebody that actually deals in law. Don't call your local guy like myself, because I'm no lawyer. I just play one on TV some days. That's it.
Well, because the reality of it is, God forbid, none of us want to ever have to use our weapon at all. But the reality of it is, you can land your ass in jail the rest of your life if you're not doing things the right way, too.
Well, and what's the old saying? Ignorance is not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you may think you were doing everything right. You still may go to jail. You still may get sued civilly. There's a lot of things that can snowball on you really quick and derail your entire life if you're not acting appropriately in those situations.
Yeah, it's a huge responsibility, and that's why we're always pushing training, because then people start to realize the extent of responsibility it really is.
Absolutely. So another negative, did I talk about permits being required in more places than
not
for
yet.
Open carry? Okay, so one of the drawbacks is like, oh, well, you have to get a permit to do this, and I can open carry, which is fine. But for the most part, there's probably not a ton of pressing situations that you don't have a week or two or whatever that time period is to go get your concealed carry permit.
Well, and a lot of the concealed carry permits are kind of going away some as some of these states go that way. But in reality, just like we're talking about the responsibility and training, the classes, even when Missouri had them, are so easy. I mean, it's such entry-level stuff. It's not like going there and having to qualify and crazy crap.
I think you're shooting a target like 7 yards or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's entry-level. So if you can't go through that class, it goes back to the same thing. You probably aren't ready to carry either. You know, and that's coming from gun guys. We want people to carry, but we want you to do it the right way and be trained where you're not putting yourself and everybody around you in risk.
And I'm glad I took that class just for the legal aspects, you know, things I hadn't thought about before I took the class. And, you know, the shooting, you know, I'd shot a lot before I took it. So, but even at that, there's things I learned every training, shooting training, I picked up something. And no matter how many of them you go to, you know, some guy will have a different technique for doing something. Maybe it's something that's going to work for you. Maybe it's not, but you're at least going to broaden your knowledge and maybe give you more things to think about or a better way for you to carry or
Well, no different than this discussion. These are all our opinions. You know, nothing's black and white. Somebody else may have a little bit of different opinion on whatever that makes you look at something different. That doesn't make it wrong, but get enough knowledge where you can make your own informed decisions.
And I think it comes down to the situations. Every situation requires a different tool. I mean, you're not going to do, you know, you're not going to fix a transmission, you know, with the tools that you're going to use to fix an exhaust system or whatever. So you're going to look at the situation, figure out what's appropriate for that, and then probably do it there. The last couple we have, cons of concealed carry. People say they're harder to draw, which I'm sure, well, I won't say I'm sure. It's going to be a little bit more difficult because you've got a layer of clothing over it, you know, it may be tucked in. But like we talked about earlier, that can be negated by training, practicing, making sure you know where your holster is, where, you know, how you draw, how you get to your firearm. Part of that too would be another con that people will say is you got to wear looser clothing, real baggy clothing. Now, I won't say you have to wear real baggy clothing. You probably don't want to wear the form fit Under Armour, you know, like you're going to wear under football pads. But there's...
Well, let's be honest. For us anyways, if we're talking about our opinion, we all have dad bods and none of us are out there flaunting a muscle shirt anyways.
Right.
So that's fairly easy for us. But that's a simple... Wardrobe does come into it for sure. But that's a simple thing to change to have that security of protecting yourself, in my opinion.
And like we talked about, like most of the time, people don't even need to go up a pant size. I mean, the holsters are so thin. I mean, you're talking about a firearm that's an inch wide. And, you know, most of us, again, we're, you know, close to 40, all of us, and dad bods, so we're not wearing skinny jeans. So, yeah. I mean, if skinny jeans are your thing, yeah, you're going to imprint a lot of...
Brett every once in a while on the weekends, Saturday nights.
Gotta wear what you gotta wear.
Yeah. I would look like Gru from Despicable Me in skinny jeans. last thing I want to go over, one of the biggest cons, and we've addressed this on multiple episodes, is they're less comfortable than outside the waistband at first. So your concealed carry holster, until you get used to it, it's a foreign object, and there's no way around it. We've talked about, like, there's ways you can combat it. You start off with a leather. Start off wearing the Kydex holster. Even if you wear it for 15 minutes a day for a week around the house, then next week, maybe you wear it for 30 minutes. It's not going to take a lot of time before you just get used to it being there and you find what position fits your body best. Because everybody's got a different shape, different, you know, torsos, different guts, different everything. So,
and most people have heard me say this because I've said it for years, but it's like wearing a watch. No different. I'm wearing a watch now. I didn't start wearing a watch until... Well, I think she got me this one at Christmas. And for like the first month, I'm like, this sucks. Yeah. It's like, and now if I don't have it on, it feels weird. So it's just getting used to something different, you know? So just take the time to get used to it. And it's really not, it can be a con, but it's really not once you get used to it.
Sure. Utilize the warranty process, not just our company. Our company has 15 days. There's companies that give you a time frame to make sure you like that holster as well. I mean, utilize that. I know it kind of goes against returns. We don't like them. We never do, but we want you to be happy.
For sure.
Not just our company. I'm sure every company really is trying to strive to be that customer focus, but for us, it's for sure that.
Well, and I can tell you, I sit in the office with Sarah every day, so I hear most of the customers when they call to return stuff. Very rarely is it, man, I've carried concealed forever and you're holster is not comfortable. I never hear that. Normally it's, hey, I really thought I'd like Kydex, but I want a leather. So they'll send it back. Or, you know, the most common one, and, you know, I even have trouble. I mean, how many times I come into your office asking you about specific guns, Kevin? Because there's, you know, a mod one, mod two, mod three, or there's a PPQ, PP, whatever.
Yeah, there's 12 variations to every model.
So even a year into modeling firearms, I'm constantly coming to ask one of you guys, hey, what's this? So I understand, you know, so a lot of them are that people think they've got this and they've got that instead.
Yeah. They go and they may be somewhere and go, I need a holster. And, oh, well, hell, I got a Springfield, whatever. And then find the list. Oh yeah, I think it's that one. And I mean, they don't know. And if we weren't in this business, we wouldn't know. But if you go like the SIG's the most common one that,
oh yeah,
and SIG did it to themselves, so it's not the customer's fault. But they got an X macro and then this X. The X fits the same holster as a regular 365. The X macro has a rail. It's a whole different holster. Well, people just scroll through and see X. Go, oh, that's X macro. And then, well, it don't fit. Well, yeah, because you have an X, not an X macro. So they make it confusing. Glock's the same way. 1947, 1949. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I've actually got a list of the Glocks on my computer. So I'm like, all right, this will fit this and this will fit that. And, you know, because I can't keep it straight yet. So I'm more of a visual person. Had to have it wrote down.
But yeah, to Brett's point, we want you to have what works for you. Like we talked about on other episodes, we're not a company looking for one order from you. We want a long-time relationship, friendship with you. Whatever you need, we'll get you taken care of. And sometimes people order the right thing from the first. Some people call and email and get input, which helps them. Some don't. They just, there's no right or wrong. But if you do question what you want, you can always email us and we'll give you a few pros and cons of each to give you a better informed decision. But
yeah, I will say again, I sit in and listen to those phone calls all day, and yeah, our call in, and we are more than helpful to talk you through what options you want, what's going to be best. And people ask our opinions daily on, you know, whatever, and you know, we'll tell you what we think's best. And hey, but if it's not for you, we'll make sure it's as good as it can be.
Yeah, don't take our opinions to the grave, because everybody has different likes and stuff. So what I like, Brett may not like, and vice versa. So
to wrap up the concealed versus open deal, I would say my biggest takeaway is it's all situational based. There's a time and place for everything. What's right for me today might not be right for me tomorrow, or might not be right for Brett in the same situation. So in my opinion, if you're going to open carry, the best time to do it is if you're going to be out hunting, camping, hiking, maybe out in a remote area. If you're going to be at a pro Second Amendment rally or some sort of event like that, all great times for open carry. I wouldn't do it in big urban settings or, you know, anywhere where it could make you more of a target or create a negative situation or interaction with the public for you. On the flip side, concealed carry, if you're going to be in those urban settings, great, great, great for concealed carry. Also, off-duty officers, a lot of those guys are always carrying concealed. Basically, anywhere discretion is going to be needed is going to be your time and place for concealed carry.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. You just mentioned off-duty officers. They carry open every day on duty. But when they're not on duty, they don't carry open carry. There's a reason for that. There's a reason. They're not in uniform. They're not expected to be open carrying. So they want the element of surprise.
Well,
so,
and even if you talk to detectives that are going out to investigate something, they're concealed carry almost all the time because they're trying to put people at ease. Because like it or not, about half the population is going to be uneasy around guns. They don't know anything about them. They haven't been brought up around them. Mm-hmm. They have had somebody that's been lost to gun violence. There's all sorts of reasons why people get uncomfortable.
Well, and it's the same thing. Like you see people talking to their buddy and then a cop or somebody walks up and they're like,
right.
Just like, it's that same just weird, it's not even weird, but just like you said, uncomfortable thought that just hiccups everything.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want.
All right. So anything else you guys want to throw in there before we move on?
Nope. For me.
Hey, speaking of moving on, did anybody go catch your trophy fish out of your secret hole yet?
Nobody's mentioned it. And Brett bought a boat and still hasn't taken me fishing, so.
I just took delivery. It's been raining ever since.
Took delivery. Good grief. So, last week I gave out the GPS coordinates, Kevin's secret fishing hole.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And they're not on here, but I can tell you where it is. It's over by State Ave and 435. They got a big pond, indoor pond there full of bass crop, crappie, carp, bluegill, all those.
Bass Pro Shop.
Nice. Yeah, Bass Pro Shop. So
absolutely.
Nobody called him out on it. So I told people to send him pictures in front of his fishing hole, and nobody did it. So
they're too worried about getting Brett's autograph last
night. Yeah, that's
speaking of which, I got a message from Magnuson last night. He's like, I was going to come in and ask that guy for an autograph, but he's seen me before. He's like, I don't care.
Come on in.
So Magnuson would probably be stopping by. Other than that, yeah, cropping seasons should be getting into high gear if this rain will ever quit.
Well, I think that's a, depending on where you're at. In our area, and like we went down to Eureka Springs, like Truman and all that we passed, the water's going to be so high, they're still going to spawn, but they're going to be not on the bank. And it's different.
So is it they just start digging their nests or whatever at a certain time, and wherever that nest is where it's going to stay?
Yep. And the other problem with that's the case, but also when water comes up that fast from all the rain, it gets muddy, it makes them harder to catch anyways, but also spreads the fish out. If you got a lake that's normal pools, whatever it is, and it goes up 10 foot, think of that times the whole area of the lake. That's how much more area fish have to spread out.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And especially in the coves, that cove gets immensely wider and you got more tree cover. And
so it's a whole bunch of negative variables all at once.
Well, I'm sure they need a little bit the warmer water for the for their eggs as well. So I'm sure that's why they come up to the shallows. The sun warms that water up quicker.
Originally, yeah. But if they got their, they've already started per se, they won't move up with it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the only ones moving up in the new stuff will be brand new fish coming up there. But then the water starts dropping. They open the dam, it starts dropping. They know it's unstable and they don't want to be up there either.
You got to be a meteorologist and monitor lake levels and all that.
Or just do like Kevin does and sit at the front of the boat and put you in the worst spot every time.
Well, it's even worse now that he's got LiveScope because he's...
I don't have anything right now. Oh. That's why I'm relying on him.
See, he sold his boat and he didn't even put the LiveScope on my boat. Can you believe that, dude? He could have used it on my boat anytime he wanted.
He didn't want his LiveScope. Your boat probably would have sank. It would have been like this in the water.
Well, I asked him, I said, why do you got a 42-inch TV on the front of your boat?
It was insane. It's like...
it got real bad when you had the VR goggles on, dude.
Brett sent me the other night. Well, because every time this year, I want to buy a boat, and then I never get to use it because of all the other shit going on. So a boat popped up, which it's sold, by the way, so I lucked out on that one. But he sent me this thing. So we were talking about that. He sent me this thing. It's like a little John boat with a tiller motor.
But it's 450
horsepower. 450 Mercury on like a 12 horsepower or 12 foot long John boat.
Speaking of the John boats, I was watching videos on the LiveScope just to see how it works. I'd never seen it before. This dude had the John boat. It was like a 12 foot John boat with a 5 horse tiller motor on it. But he had the LiveScope on the front. So he's got, I don't know, $1,000 in boat and $3,000 in LiveScope on a $1,000 boat.
That LiveScope's a game changer, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's like you start watching the videos and you can see that fish like looking at your lure and like, oh, there he is. Just nuts.
He still struggles a little bit.
But just throws me in the back.
Because we're at the back of the boat.
At Truman. We went to Truman last winter. Yeah, last winter.
Yeah.
It didn't help him too much.
Well, maybe if you had the VR headset on, then you could see the fish too.
Well, every time I'd see where the fish are, he moves. And so his LiveScope is moving. Now he's over here fishing on these, and he's catching them. And I'm like, well, I'm over. You know, I was getting frustrated. I'm going back and forth on the boat, front to back, because I wasn't catching anything. And he's over here, just here you go, a 3-pounder. Don't need nothing else.
He's like, just get the net, damn it. Yeah. He took you for the limit and to throw the fish in the live well, pretty much.
It was a good time, though.
Oh, it always is. So, real quick note before we wrap up. The Frontier holsters, they are selling like hotcakes. Those things are going out the door. They're on about 3-week lead time right now.
Yeah, it depends on which ones they are. So, as we ramp them up, that will come down. So, we've been getting a lot of questions about if we're going to add more guns. The short answer is yes, but limited. We're not going to offer micro size guns in that holster because that's not what it's made for. But we are going to add some, but we're waiting until we get these to a lead time before we add more.
Yeah, it would be a disservice to sell you something we're not going to ship out for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So, and again, that goes into the whole, you know, you got to have another line opened up to do these things because it's a different size block. And, you know, there's just a lot that goes into getting it up and running fully. But
I looked this morning, we're just at 2 weeks. One's from just now, 2 weeks are shipping today.
And that's pretty comparable to anything new we do, whether it's a new light combination that we don't have yet, or, you know, if we're modeling something brand new, it just takes time to get it right. And, you know, we could rush it out, but it's not going to be what we want, or definitely not what you want to carry every day.
Yeah, and as time goes, those lead times will come back down as we're not modeling them and different things going on.
All right. So this episode is brought to you by our friends at War Horses for Veterans. They have their Derby party May 4th. So it's this Saturday. I was talking to Brett, and I think they have one table left or a couple seats left. They are about at capacity. But the cool thing is if you go to the War Horses for Veterans Facebook page, and I'm sure their website will get you there too. I know it's on Facebook, though. They are doing auctions, and you do not have to be at the Derby party to win these auction items. And
yeah, we need to check out that table.
Oh, the table. So the guys from, it's not Smith & Wesson like the firearms, but it's close to that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. And Brett, I apologize, and we'll get the right names because they want to come on and talk to us. So yeah, they may be making us a podcast table.
Cool.
So we're going to spend your money on that. I just didn't tell you yet.
Yeah.
But so they've got this custom table that all three of us saw out there. Incredible that they're auctioning off. They've got wall art. So like the really fancy flags and stuff they've done. Was it a Marine Recon team that had that boat paddle on the wall out there? They had their paracorded boat paddle and like all CNC engraved. And like, this is,
they do cool stuff.
World-class stuff. So I've got a bunch of their stuff that's getting auctioned off. They've also got, and I don't want to misspeak, but I'm pretty sure on this, I'm just going to say it, a Travis Kelce autographed game used football. So it's got the sticker on it, the deal. It's verified. They're auctioning that off. They've got a private tour of Arrowhead Stadium for up to 10 people. A couple hours, you get to go see all the field, locker rooms, all that kind of stuff. Just, there's too much stuff to list. But Kendall Gammon, former Chiefs long snapper, is part of their organization. We met him while we were out there. He does a lot of work with the Chiefs. So they've got a lot of Chiefs-type stuff out there.
He'll be on the podcast coming up, too.
Yeah, we're working on getting him. So it won't be a big gun and fishing episode, but there's a lot of our people would probably like to hear about the road to the NFL, you know, how that works. And so we're going to definitely talk to him about that. But again, check out War Horses for Veterans. It's WHFV.com. That'll get you to their website. You can find them on Facebook. Check out those auction items. I'm sure some of them are going to go for a lot of money, but there's some other stuff they have too that's, you know, probably going to be, I won't say more affordable, but, you know, lower priced items too. So they've got a range of stuff they're auctioning.
Just know it's going to a good cause. Even if you pay a little bit more for it, it's going, the rest is going to all of it because it's all donated stuff.
Right.
All the money is going to something good.
Oh, absolutely. And like we talked about, this charity is one of the best ones out there because everybody wants to talk about thanking a veteran for their service and, you know, helping them out. And this is a way to, you know, make that an actuality and really put your words into action.
In a hands-on way. And
that was a neat experience going out there.
Oh, yeah.
Putting hands on the horses. I can imagine somebody going through some stuff in life, spending a week there. I bet it can really do something.
Yeah. And like we talked about, it breaks down the walls of, you know, a lot of guys are tough guys, don't want to talk to a therapist. Well, gets them in an environment where they're comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, really cool deal. Check out War Horses for Veterans, WHFV.com, Derby Party May 4th. On our website, MRT Podcast will get you 15% off. That's going to be our promo code, MRT Podcast. As always, follow us on all the major social medias. Just look up Muddy River Tactical. You can find us, find Kevin's gun review videos on there. Find our podcasts on there. Find Brett, you're doing rifle videos starting too long ago.
I'm going to try. Yep.
Okay. So a little bit of everything. We've got some shorts on there that are kind of funny. So we're doing a little bit of everything. If you got a video you want to see, let us know. If you got a gun you want us to review, we'd be glad to do it. So we're here to help you guys out, be a service for you. So just let us know what you'd like to see and we'll get it done. Kevin, you want to go ahead and wrap us up?
Yep, as always, thank you guys for joining us. And until next time, keep practicing and always be prepared.
See you guys.
Thank you.